Well, thank you for the privilege of allowing me to share this morning. I always want to thank you also for your partnership in the gospel here in the Pikes Peak Association and the Colorado Baptist Convention. I bring you greetings from both of those organizations. And again, thank you so much for being a part of something even bigger than yourself, because we truly are better together. I've been saying that for 20 years. People say, that's old. I said, yeah, it is, but it's true. We are better together. And so thank you for your partnership in the gospel, communicating the great news to the Pikes Peak region and throughout the state of Colorado. Thank you for that. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to get there in just a moment. But I want to talk this morning as we begin 2025 on how do you face an uncertain future. Now, the only one who knows the future is who? God, right? He's the only one. We don't. We don't even know what's going to happen later today. The Broncos, I hope, will win, but we don't know. That's kind of an uncertain future right now. But as we begin a new year, people are always asking, always wanting to know about the future and what's going to happen in 2025, right? You know, people are still quoting a guy who died in 1556. His name was Nostradamus. Why they're paying attention to him, I have no idea. He's dead. Let it go. Right? But as human beings, we kind of have this unquenchable thirst for wanting to know what's going to happen. People pay lots of money to go have fortune-telling, and people read tea leaves and crystals and all sorts of crazy things, right? And none of that stuff works. But people pay for it. I mean, people buy books and read magazines and articles. In fact, there was an article that came out this last week from Lifeway Research on 10 trends the church needs to engage in 2025. So, Brandon, just read those five and you're good, you know. Just grab those things. Now, hear me. We need to understand our culture. And we do need to understand what is happening in our world around us. We're not supposed to be ignorant of it. But we also understand that we really face an uncertain future. So how do we, as a church, you're still looking for a pastor. You're not sure what that's going to look like. But that's okay. God does. And so how do we engage the future from a Christ follower perspective? Nobody knows the future or what the future holds except God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, since no man knows the future, who can tell him what is to come? None of us know, but God does. Would you agree that life is fragile? Yeah, life is pretty fragile. But in the middle of life is the word if. You can't spell life without if. We don't know if this is going to be a good day or a bad day, but we know God knows. And so what is our role in that? How do we face an uncertain future? Before I get into Joshua 1, I want to talk briefly about what not to do. When you're facing an uncertain future, there are three things not to do. First, don't presume about tomorrow. Don't presume about tomorrow. Proverbs says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We don't know if we're going to have a tomorrow or not. How do we presume about the future? We do it when we plan without praying. I'm going to talk about developing a plan, but it needs to be a plan that's done prayerfully. It needs to be done with a plan that you pray over and really discern where God is working and how to adjust your life. Secondly, don't panic about tomorrow. Don't panic about tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew 6, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has a trouble of its own. In other words, live one day at a time. Worry is stewing without doing. The only thing worry does is it destroys today. So don't worry about it. Press on, move forward. Did you know that the Bible does not say, give us this day our annual bread? Am I right? It says, give us this day our what? Daily bread. That's what we've got. And there's a third thing. Don't procrastinate about tomorrow. Don't procrastinate about tomorrow. If you wait for perfect conditions in Ecclesiastes 11, you will never get anything done. So what did God tell you to do in 2024 that you did not do? I'm not going to ask for confession, but Were there some things in 2024 that God specifically challenged you to do and you didn't do it? Well, let's make a change in 2025. God says, get after it. Don't put it off. Don't worry about it. Don't panic. You know, if we wait, we basically lose our lives. Because our life is about what is happening now and tomorrow. You don't want to waste your life. So, how do I face an uncertain future? Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read the first 11 verses. So I'm going to ask you, what does the Bible say about this? If you'll stand to your feet, and let's read God's Word. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go throughout the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving with you for your own. Let's pray together. Lord, I just pray now as we unpack your word that we will allow your Holy Spirit to teach us, help us discern what it is you want us to do so that we are not just hearers only, but doers also. And Lord, I pray as we look into a new year that, Lord, we will rest in you, understand that you have a plan, you have a purpose. Help us to be sensitive and discerning what that is, and then adjust our lives to it. Even when we face an uncertain future, we know you hold the future in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua is certainly one of my heroes. I'm amazed at what God did through him and how God worked through him. And yet, his life, I'm not sure I'd want to share his life, because his life was one battle after another. And for 40 years, he wandered around in the wilderness, and it wasn't his fault. Right? You remember, 40 years previously, the Hebrew people sent 12 spies out into the promised land. They came back. Joshua and Caleb said, let's do it. Let's go. Come on. And 10 of them said no, so they got voted down. And then they had to wait 40 years for a generation to die off. Now, you're Caleb and Joshua. You did nothing wrong. And you're waiting for that last person of that generation to die. I know what I'd be thinking. Hurry up. Right? I mean, you've been ready to go into the promised land for 40 years, and you're waiting for this generation to, you know, kick the bucket, and there's one person left. Anytime. And they were faithful. And yet his battle is one, or his life is one battle followed by another. Can you identify with that? Do you feel like that in your life? You know, it seems like in our culture today anyway, there's a battle for the mind, there's a battle for the family, there's a battle for the government, there's a battle for Christianity, there's a battle for sexuality, et cetera, et cetera. Even individually, some of you here in 2024 maybe had a financial battle, you had a relational battle, you had an occupational battle, you had an emotional battle. We all have personal battles that we're facing, just like Joshua. And yet Joshua never gave up. And he had every reason to give up. And he didn't. I think it was C.S. Lewis years ago who wrote, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." That's Joshua. They're on the verge now of going into the promised land. They've been wandering around in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years. They've already been here once before. It's kind of like deja vu. And they're ready to cross over and take possession of the land. Look at verse 11 of Joshua 1. "So go through the camp," Joshua says. "Tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we're going to cross the Jordan River and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving us." Get ready, he says. We're going to do this. And God says to Joshua, "Joshua, I have a tremendous future for you. I'm going to do great things through you. Everything I promised and more. But," he says, "Joshua, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. You have to take possession of this land." He's not going to hand it to you on a platter. And the same is true in our lives. Oftentimes, we have to fight battles. Not because God doesn't love us, but because God is growing us and stretching us. We need to take possession of the future. God says, "I've got great things planned for you. I want to bless you. All your best days are ahead of you." And he says, Joshua, and he says to us, "But you need to be strong and courageous." He says it three times, right? You need to be strong and courageous. We need to face an uncertain future with confidence, with the confidence that God gives us. So God gives Joshua a little pep talk here in the first chapter, getting him ready for the next 20 plus years. And he says there's a number of things you need to do, and let's talk about those. Number one, he says you need to set up a plan. You need to set up a plan. He says you need to have a strategy to face the future. You have to plan for the future. And he says in verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Okay. "Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River." You need to get ready to do this. You need to prepare yourself to do this. You need to prepare yourself to possess the land that I'm giving you. And by the way, it's going to be a battle. And so in verse 11, he tells the people what? Get ready. Get your supplies ready. The future belongs to those who prepare for it. God has a plan for your life. Would you agree with that? Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this church. Oftentimes, I go into some of our smaller churches, and as I shared with you last time I was here, we have 7 churches without pastors right now. And I go into some of the smaller ones, and they'll ask me this question: "Is God done with us? Is God done with this church?" And I always say, no. God has a plan for your church. God's not done with your church yet. So trust Him in that. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this church. A national survey that was done a number of years ago found out that here in America, 27% of all people have given no thought to the future. 27%, no thought. 60% of the people gave a little bit of thought, but only having to do with finances. 10% have a pretty good idea of what they're going to try to achieve. They have a pretty good idea of where they're headed. And then only 3% actually have write down goals, write down steps, write down strategies to accomplish what they think they need to accomplish. All right? The same survey also discovered 20% of our population are welfare recipients. 60% of our population are barely making it. They're living week in and week out. 10% of our population are well off. 3% of our population are highly successful. Isn't it interesting that those ratios are exactly the same? You see, too often we, instead of getting ready, as God says, and acting, we react to what happens to us. As you look back at 2024, again, was there something God wanted you to do that you just didn't do because you didn't make a plan to do it? We have to plan to do it. Prayerfully plan, yes. We have to prayerfully plan what we sense God wanting us to do. So we need to get ready. But secondly, another principle here is we need to let go of the past. Look at verse 2 again. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's the past. God says to Joshua, get over it. Now then, all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I'll give you every place you set your foot as I promised Moses. But basically he's saying, let go of the past. You can't live in the past. Moses and Joshua had been close for 70 years. Joshua is probably around 90 years old. So when you say you're too old to do something, come on. 90 years old. Moses was Joshua's mentor. Can you imagine following Moses as a leader? I mean, Moses is the guy who took the Hebrew people out of slavery, walked them through the Red Sea. Holy smokes, I would never want to follow that guy. And Joshua probably felt a little overwhelmed because Moses is gone now, the guy he leaned on. And too often, we don't let go of the past. And God's telling Joshua, move forward. That season is over. Let's move into a new season. Too often, we allow the past to control us. Folks, you will never possess your future while you're perpetuating your past. Now, it may be a past failure. It may be a relationship that didn't work. It may be a career field that didn't happen. But God says, let go of the past. And God has a plan for your life, just like He has for Joshua's life. He says, move on, let's go. So what do you need to let go of in 2025 that maybe has kind of had you wrapped up a little bit? What do you need to let go of? We need to set a plan, prayerfully set a plan, discerning what it is that God wants us to do, and then follow that plan. Secondly, we need to stay in the Word. We need to stay in the Word. Look at verse 7. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. God says, Joshua, stay in the Word. Get to know the Bible. The Bible is our manual for life. And there's two principles here. Number one, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. What's he say in verse 7? He says, don't turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, don't get distracted. Don't allow other things to distract you. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart is when I see a person come into a church, God works in their life, the Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin, their need for a Savior, they accept Christ as their Lord, and they begin to grow, and then they get distracted. Now, sometimes it's distracted by good things, but they're missing the best thing. Sometimes it's a career, sometimes it's a promotion, sometimes it's a sport, a Denver Bronco fan, whatever. Sometimes it's bad things. It's a financial difficulty, maybe it's an illness, but it's so easy to get distracted, and we lose our focus on the Word of God. And God says here to Joshua, and He says to us, some of you are going to get sidetracked. Why? You didn't stay in the Word. Folks, you can't just listen to a sermon on Sunday morning and call that good. That's like eating one meal a week. I mean, right? That doesn't work. Verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. You need to, secondly, don't get distracted is one. Secondly, develop a strategy to stay in God's Word. Develop the disciplines it takes to get in the Word of God. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Think about it. Talk about it. Share it with other people. Get in a small group, a Sunday school class, whatever. And then live it. Do God's Word. Practice it. Again, the Bible is our manual. It's our manual for living a spiritual life. Recently, my wife and I bought a 2022 Grand Cherokee. And you may not know this, men, but vehicles come with manuals. And I have it right here. Now, this manual is about as thick as my Bible. It's like well over 100 pages. I remember when manuals were like 8 pages. I still have a 1966 Ford truck, by the way. Right? It doesn't have a manual. But this manual became very important. I was driving it like a week or so after we bought it. And at about 40 or 45 miles per hour, the wheels started vibrating. And I thought, well, there must be out of balance or out of alignment, you know, something simple like that. Well, then my wife read the manual. And she had some insights. We couldn't even get the air conditioning to function right. Because this thing apparently has sensors all around it. And apparently, when you start drifting, let me get this right. I actually wrote it down. There's a thing called adaptive cruise control and active lane management. I don't need that. I'm managing the lane fine. But it tells me when I'm not. Well, we discovered quickly how to turn that sucker off so I could drive this vehicle like I'm supposed to drive it. It also has that thing when you stop and the car stops running. It has two batteries. I learned what button to push on that too to cancel that thing. But thankfully, I would have spent hundreds of dollars taking it to a mechanic who probably would have charged me and go, oh, by the way, read the manual. My wife saved me a whole lot of money because she read the manual. Well, folks, this is our manual. Let's not ever, ever take it for granted. Let's not ever stop meditating on it, memorizing it, hiding God's Word in our heart. Because that's what God wants us to do. We need to stay in the Word. God says, if you obey the premise, I'll fulfill the promise. Most of you are familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Some of you probably have it memorized. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture. Charles Spurgeon said this, a Bible that is coming apart is usually owned by someone who is not. Let me say that again. A Bible that is coming apart is usually owned by someone who is not. So either your Bible's going to come apart or you're going to come apart. And you say, well, it just takes a lot of time to read the Bible. Well, do you think you were busier than Joshua? Joshua was pretty busy. He's leading an entire nation. He's making battle plans. He's making preparation. And yet God says, stay in my word. Thirdly, step out in faith. So we're going to set up a plan, stay in the Word, step out in faith. And by the way, faith is not a feeling, it's an action. Faith is something we actively do. People say, I believe in Jesus. Well, great, so does the devil. The devil believes in Jesus. Faith is an active lifestyle. Three times here, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because that's what faith is. Faith, first of all, is an act of courage. First principle here, it's an act of courage. The moment the Hebrew people crossed the river, the Jordan River, to move into this land, they declared war on those nations. Do you know how many nations were on the other side of that river? Seven. Each of those nations was bigger than the nation of Israel. They're crossing into the unknown. They're taking a step of faith. And there are years of war ahead of them and one battle after another. That's why God says to Joshua and he says to us, we need to be strong and courageous as we move into 2025, as we think about who our new pastor is going to be, as we allow the leadership here to lead us, as we try to penetrate the lostness that's here in our city. God says, be strong and courageous. Now, what gave Joshua the confidence to move ahead? Look at verse 9. God says, have I not commanded you? It's like, remember who's giving you your marching orders, Joshua. I just want to remind you a little bit, right? You ever had the need for God to remind you? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We are promised His presence as Christ followers. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He is working through us. He's living in us. And we can trust God for that. No matter what assignment Almighty God gives us, we can rest in that. Now, there are two enemies that keep us from facing our future. First is fear, and the second is discouraged. He says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Fear and discouragement keep us in the wilderness, and it keeps us from moving across the Jordan River. Fear keeps us from ever getting started. Discouragement keeps us from ever finishing. Joshua was a man of courage. Now, what is courage? Courage is not having no fear. I know that's probably a double negative, but it's moving ahead in spite of our fear. So we need to have an act of courage. Secondly, we need to have an act of faith. Remember, faith is something we actively do. So when we step out in faith, we need to trust God. Now turn a couple pages to Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. They're crossing the Jordan River. Verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And today now is tomorrow, or tomorrow is today. And he said, look at verse 15. Now, the Jordan River is at flood stage all during harvest. Now, I might put a pause on that and go, maybe we could try crossing when it's not flood stage. You know, just hang out for a couple more months. We've done it for 40 years. But they're going to cross at flood stage. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, what happened? Verse 16. The water from upstream stopped flowing and it piled into a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. Anybody know how far away Adam was from where they were crossing the Jordan River? About 17 miles. 17 miles. This is not like the Red Sea. When all of a sudden it's boom, psh, we're going. The water is flowing down the Jordan River. And I can imagine the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant walking into the Jordan River, expecting the Red Sea thing. And they're walking into the water. Water's about ankle high. They keep walking. We're taking a step of faith. We're going to do this. They keep walking through the Jordan River. Now it's up to their knees. We sure hope that water stops. Now it's up to their waist. And finally it says the water stopped where they were. But it took courage and it took faith to say, we're going to trust God for this. Have you noticed God very rarely does it the same way twice? The Red Sea things, right? The movie Ten Commandments, boom, opened up. They walked over on dry land. In this case, the water stopped 17 miles upriver when their feet touched the water. It took a while. So suddenly, then the water stopped. You see, the first step is always the hardest, isn't it? When you think about trusting God, when you think about facing the uncertain future, when you think about acts of faith and courage, that first step is always the hardest. That first sentence in a term paper, you know, that first hit in a football game. The first task at a new job, the first day, in your neighborhood, whatever that looks like. So, as we wrap this up, let's get practical. What is your Jordan River? What battle do you need to fight as we look at 2025? Are you wandering around in the wilderness, in the desert? Maybe it's finances for you. Maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's a deadline. What's keeping you in the desert? Is it a relationship, a career, a habit, a lifestyle? You know, 40 years earlier, as I said, these 12 spies went into the same land. And they came back with a different conclusion. And they kind of got comfortable. Are we guilty of being comfortable? Are we guilty of just kind of resting on our laurels, if you will? I'm afraid some of us get comfortable and we get complacent. And we're really not taking steps of faith like we used to. Joshua, you say, well, I'm too old. Joshua was 90 years old. And he had 20 years ahead of him of battle after battle after battle after battle. It's never too late to say yes to God. Nobody remembers. Anybody remember the names of the other 10 spies? Anybody? I've got them written down here, but I can only pronounce about half of them. We don't remember them. Who do we remember? Joshua and Caleb. Back in chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Do we believe that? Do we believe that today and tomorrow God is going to do amazing things through us for His kingdom, for all eternity that have eternal value? We need to consecrate ourselves. At the very end of Joshua, right before Joshua dies, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he says this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve." You see, the Hebrew people had drifted by the end of Joshua's life. Whom will you serve? Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Is that going to be your prayer as you look at 2025? Are you going to consecrate yourself and step out in faith, and get ready for something big and take on the battles? Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Bill, I'm kind of in the wilderness. You know, my life is just kind of going around in circles. I'm kind of in the desert." If you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, you are in the wilderness. And God doesn't want you to stay there. Did you know that today, in just a moment, Pastor Devin's going to be here in the front. You can come and say yes to Jesus. In fact, I'm going to have the worship team, you guys come on up. God has a plan for your life. As I said earlier, it just takes a step of faith. If you can't make a dozen steps to say yes to Jesus, to get you out of the wilderness, why wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, that's like a win-win decision. And so if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, you can do that today. We're going to stand and sing here in a minute. Worship team's going to lead us. Devin's going to be here. Brandon's around. So if you need Jesus, come and talk to one of these guys. Jesus wants to deliver you from that wilderness, and He wants you to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Man, what a great way to start 2025. Let me pray for us.